They ate well, but they were still a long way from the coast. He knew that he was placing hopes there he'd had no reason to. He hoped it would be brighter, where, for all he knew, the world grew darker daily. He'd once found a light meter in a camera store that he thought he might use to average out readings for a few months, and he carried it around with him for a long time, thinking he might find some batteries for it, but he never did. At night, when he woke coughing, he'd sit up with his hand over his head against the blackness, like a man waking in a grave, like those disinterred dead from his childhood, relocated to accommodate a highway. Many had died in a cholera epidemic, and they'd been buried in haste in wooden boxes, and the boxes were rotting and falling open. And some of the dead lay on their sides with their legs drawn up, and some lay on their stomachs. The dull green antique coppers spilled from the tills of their eye sockets onto the stained and rotted coffin floors. They stood in a grocery store in a small town where a mounted deer head hung from the wall. The boy stood looking at it a long time. There was broken glass in the floor, and the man made him wait at the door while he kicked through the trash in his work shoes, but he found nothing. There were two gas pumps outside, and they sat on the concrete apron and lowered a small tin can on a string into the underground tank and hauled it up and poured the cup full of gasoline it held into a plastic jug and lowered it again. They tied a length of pipe to the can to sink it, and they crouched over the tank like apes fishing with sticks in an anthill for the better part of an hour until the jug was full. Then they screwed on the cap and set the jug in the bottom rack of the cart and went on. Long days. Open country with the ash blowing over the road. The boy sat by the fire at night with the pieces of the map across his knees. He had the names of towns and rivers by heart, and he measured their progress daily. They ate so sparingly. They'd almost nothing left. The boy stood in the road, holding the map. They listened, but they could hear nothing. Still, he could see open country to the east, and the air was different. Then they came upon it from a turn in the road, and they stopped and stood with the salt air blowing in their hair where they'd lowered the hoods of their coats to listen. Out there was the gray beach, with the slow combers rolling dull and leaden, and the distant sound of it, like the desolation of some alien sea breaking on the shores of a world unheard of. Out on the tidal flats lay a tanker, half careened. Beyond that, the ocean, vast and cold and shifting heavily, like a slowly heaving vat of slag, and then the gray squall line of ash. He looked at the boy. He could see the disappointment in his face. "I'm sorry it's not blue," he said. "That's okay," said the boy. An hour later, they were sitting on the beach and staring out at the wall of smog across the horizon. They sat with their heels dug into the sand and watched the bleak sea wash up at their feet, cold, desolate, birdless. He'd left the cart in the bracken beyond the dunes, and they'd taken blankets with him and sat wrapped in them in the wind shade of a great driftwood log. They sat there for a long time. Along the shore of the cove below them, windrows of small bones in the rack. Further down, the salt-bleached rib cages of what may have been cattle. Gray salt rime on the rocks. The wind blew, and dry seed pods scampered down the sands and stopped and then went on again.